Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to continue our study through the book of Proverbs, but a subject study through the book of Proverbs. I'm not dealing with it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're just covering certain subjects that we come across. This has been, I've enjoyed this. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this subject study through Proverbs. You can learn so much from the book of Proverbs. Remember, every day, whatever the date is, you read that chapter in the book of Proverbs, get you a little notebook, write down things you might want to hear a sermon on, and write down things that you learned in it. So get you a notebook, and the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom. It'll make you wiser. It'll show you how to act and how to deal with people and everything. It's a tremendous, tremendous book, so you need to take advantage of it. Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 2. Verse 2, it says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly," and the lowly would be the humble. And of course, God's people are to be a lowly people, aren't they? They're to be a humble people. But it says, "When pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." Let us pray. Father God, we're thankful that we have this great opportunity to worship you. And Father, we pray for those that are next door, those that are teaching, and we pray that you'd grant them this Holy Spirit, that they would have power as they teach, and me as I teach also. Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth as we listen to your word. May we take this message to our hearts and apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now we're going to give this a title of the shame pride brings. The shame pride brings. Now I'm going to give you a three-point outline. Let me go ahead and give you that in advance. But I got so much, I want to run kind of rapidly through the first 2 points and get on the third point. But let me go ahead and give you what the outline is, and you write it down. We're going to look at the pride text in Proverbs. Solomon, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said an awful lot about pride in the book of Proverbs. So I think it'd be fitting. Now, I'm not going to preach a message every time I run across it, but I am going to share with you tonight about 7 or 8 texts where it warns you about pride. We need to be careful about pride, because pride can creep within a Christian's life, and it'll kill his fruitfulness and her fruitfulness right off the bat. It's a horrible character trait. Let me say it one more time. It's a horrible character trait. I'm going to tell you something. And our God can't stand it. He really can't. And he won't tolerate it. He won't tolerate it in a nation. He won't tolerate it in people. And he won't tolerate it in his people either. So we got to give this a good look at. So we're going to look at the pride text, first of all, in Proverbs. We're mainly just going to go through and read them, because you could preach a sermon on each one. But I just want to show you what all Proverbs says about the subject of pride. Then we're going to look at the pride examples, and we're going to look at 3 examples of pride in the Scripture. That will be what we do next. And then the meat of the sermon is the third point, and that third point is going to be the pride busters. Not ghostbusters, pride busters. Pride busters. I'm going to give you 5 of them. 5 pride busters. So that's going to be the main points that we look at. The pride text, the pride examples, and the pride busters. So what we need to do before we get started into this, we need to turn our minds in towards ourself and look at ourselves and make sure we don't see none of that in us, because it gets to be a tremendous problem. All right, let's go ahead and look over to Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to work our way through these texts. You can turn to them with me because you're already in Proverbs. And I want to show you what all Proverbs has to say about pride. Of course, written by King Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the warnings that he gives on this subject of pride. Now, it hasn't been that long ago that I preached on the subject, and it's because in Proverbs 6, in verses 16 down through 19, I done a series on that. I think it was last year. Seven particular sins that God hates. Y'all remember that series? It's not been that long ago that I've done that. But notice what leads the list in verse 16 and 17. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now look what leads the list. A proud look. So God hates. See, it says there's seven things that God hates. We're just looking at one of them. And the first on the list is a proud look. He hates it. Pride can show itself different ways. Usually what shows pride is somebody's mouth will often reveal pride. But sometimes pride can be revealed by a person's look. They've got a very arrogant air about them, and that's what it's referring to. A proud look. God hates pride. Okay? Now let's look on over to the book of Proverbs chapter 13. Now I want you to know, if he hates something, he's not going to tolerate it in the lives of his children, is he? This will move him to bring chastening on his children. And you can just look at the scriptures at the number of times he brought pride, he brought judgment on people for pride. I believe that the first sin was pride. I think that the devil fell because of pride. If the text in Isaiah and in Ezekiel refer to the devil, which I think the language broadens there. It's talking about a king of Tyre and talking about, I think the other one was the king of Babylon. And the language broadens in those texts to seemingly refer to Satan's fall. And what is addressed there was his pride and his arrogance. And God, I believe it was the first sin. I really do. As far as the angelic beings, when they fell, and I think pride was the cause of their fall. I really do. So, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Notice what this says. Boy, you could preach a sermon on every one of these, but I've done said that twice, so you know that. But now, Proverbs 13 verse 10 says, only by pride comes contention. Only by pride. Now, the idea of the word contention is quarrels. It's quarrels. When you have a lot of quarreling, and now that can take root in a church if you're not careful. When you see a lot of contention and things that's going on within a church, usually behind that contention is pride. Someone's pride got hurt. And when things become a matter of pride, then what you have is a lot of division and a lot of strife. And so only by pride comes contention. And then the first one we looked at, that God hates it. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. In the mouth of the foolish, remember I told you a little while ago, one of the ways that pride reveals itself is through the means of the mouth. The mouth will show it almost every time. If someone's got pride in their heart, it'll usually vent out the mouth. And one of the examples we will look at after a while is Nebuchadnezzar. And he was walking out on his balcony one day and he says, is this not great Babylon, which I have built by the might? And he just begins all the eyes that he had done. His mouth revealed his heart. So Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. Their mouth will reveal it. And I'm going to tell you, this is just not a problem amongst sinners. It's also a problem amongst saints if you're not careful. It also can eke in right there too. And I don't think there's any worse form of pride than religious pride. People get blowed up with what they've done. You ever hear people brag on what all we've done? And they're just bragging on themselves. And it's religious pride. Proverbs chapter 16 Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5, and again, it says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Now, I want you to listen to what an emphasis that this book is putting on the subject of pride. You say, well, isn't that bad? We could stop right now and go to the house and say that pride's a horrible thing, couldn't we? When it begins to eke into your life and show itself. Notice what it says again, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." You know, I mean, it sounds bad, doesn't it? Did you ever go back and look in the Old Testament what all it says is an abomination? We know one. You go back to I believe it's either the book of Leviticus or the book of Deuteronomy. It says if a man lies with man as he does with a woman, which is talking about homosexuality, it says it is a abomination, right? Well, here, it also says everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination. It uses the same, I'm actually sure I looked up the word, it's the same word. So that shows you how bad he views pride. It's an abomination. Proverbs chapter 16, and let's notice down at verse 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a what? Before a fall." So before destruction comes pride. One of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, other than homosexuality, was they were arrogant. Very arrogant bunch of people. And you can study the scriptures and you see where nations were judged for their pride and their arrogance. One of the things that frightens me, and I've mentioned this to you before, is sometimes when they'll show different politicians, especially if we're going through a hard time, and they'll go, "We're America. We always come out on top." I'd be afraid to shoot my mouth off like that. God's the one that blesses the nation. And anything we are, it's because God has made us that. And anything we have, it's because God has given us to it. And to spout off like that, it angers me. It's nothing but pride. Have you ever heard them do it? "We always come out on top." Well, Babylon used to say that. Rome used to say that. The Medes and the Persians used to say that. Egypt used to say that. You know who else used to say that? Pharaoh used to say it in a little bit different way. Remember when Pharaoh said, "Who is Jehovah that I should serve him?" Boy, he learned. He learned who the God of Israel was. He judged him for pride. And every one of those plagues was a specific god that the Egyptians worshipped. And you could see them, you could see them praying to their sun god whenever God turned it all to darkness and they weren't able to do anything till they called Moses in and he called on the true God. They worshipped one god that was a frog-headed god. What else did God do? He put frogs all over the land. You can see them running to their old false god praying to remove them, but nothing happened till their one and only true God, the God of Israel, got involved and removed them. So, pride, Proverbs 16:18, goes before destruction. And I tell you what, when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, one of the things his wise men says, "Pharaoh, don't you realize that the land lies in ruins?" What caused that destruction? What caused Satan's fall? What caused God to judge Babylon? It's pride. It was pride. So it goes before destruction. Proverbs chapter 21. Do you see the emphasis it puts on it? And I hope you don't consider this boring, because it really ain't. You need to write these things down. It just kind of puts the emphasis on how bad God hates it. And this is just Proverbs. And I didn't write them all down. Proverbs chapter 21 and the verse 24. Proud, haughty. Haughty carries the idea of pride being lifted up. Proud, haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. What's proud wrath? Well, when your pride's hurt. When your pride's hurt. And really it might not be something that bad, but because it wounds your pride, it fills you up with wrath. So I'm not going to go no farther on that one. Proverbs chapter 28. And notice what it says in Proverbs 28 and verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Whenever times there's some major strife, there's usually someone that's got a proud heart that's stirring the strife. And what's the cause of it? Pride. Pride. Over and over again, it's mentioned in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, this is the last one we're going to look at. Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall be upon the humble in spirit. So, a lot of emphasis on the subject of not being proud. What's the opposite of proud? Is to be humble. Is to be humble. Okay? So you see the great emphasis. It's an abomination. God hates it. And I can guarantee you, God will indeed judge it. Now, in Daniel chapter 4, let me give you some examples of how these things worked out. Daniel chapter 4, let's look at an example of someone falling because of pride. And these are ones that are pretty well known. And I can move through them pretty quickly because I want to get, after all, to number 3. Point number 1 was the pride text. Did you look at them? Did you write them down? You need to write them down and read them every now and again to keep yourself humble. And we need to constantly remind ourselves not to be arrogant. That everything we are, won't you hear me? Everything we are, everything we have, everything we know, God gave us and God made us. He's the one that done it. And anytime you get blowed up with pride, you're taking glory that is due God and you're taking it upon yourself. You're actually making an idol out of your own self whenever you do that. You're taking glory and praise and honor due God for yourself. When you remember all that you have, God gave you. All that you know, God showed you. All your abilities, everything, it all issued forth from Him. Should keep you humble. Daniel chapter 4 is our first example of a man who fell through pride. And it was King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And what Babylon was known for is Babylon was a nation that came down and they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. They conquered Jerusalem. They came down on three different occasions. And in the third time, they destroyed the wall and they destroyed the temple. And they carried them off into captivity into Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king. Well, Daniel ended up being an official in the king's court. As a matter of fact, Daniel must have lived to be very, 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 very old because he lived all the way down into the Persian Empire. So from the time they were conquered, it's 70 years. You remember, it was a 70-year captivity. He lived all the way down all of that time. He must have been 95 or 100 years old by the time that the Persians took over. Well, Nebuchadnezzar then was the king of Babylon. And I want you to notice what happens to him in the book of Daniel chapter 4. He had had a dream in this text, and in a dream there's a great big tree. And what happens? The birds were nestling in it and making it was prosperous and everything. And what happened? It gets cut down. Shows it getting cut down and falling on the ground, and then just a stump is left. That's what it shows. Well, he didn't know what the dream meant, so he calls for Daniel to interpret the dream for him. And the dream was that he was coming, he was going to be judged for his pride. And Daniel warns him about this particular sin and says, maybe, you know, maybe something, if you take heed to what he's saying, maybe. But he didn't take heed to it. And after, it took a while, but after a while, he forgot the warning that Daniel gave him. And here's what happens. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 28. And this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And in the end of 12 months, he walked. See, it took a year. You know, sometimes people forget things in a year, don't they? He got a good warning from Daniel. He respected Daniel. He respected Daniel. He's the one that interpreted his dreams in Daniel chapter 2. He respected Daniel as a man of God. He elevated him in the kingdom. Okay? Boy, after 12 months, he forgot. Now, let me say something before moving farther. You got to constantly remind yourself not to fall prey to pride. It just don't take one warning. You got to constantly remind yourself of that every day of your life. This man was told and warned by a respected preacher. And he forgot about it in 12 months. That's why you constantly need to reaffirm things that you know you need to do. Watch this now. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake. Now, what did I say usually is the vent for pride? The mouth shows it. Then the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I, now I want you to watch the eyes, that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Hear all the my's and I's? See how his mouth showing how prideful he was? Who gave Nebuchadnezzar his kingdom? Somebody tell me. God gave it to him. He's taking credit for it. See, that's the great sin of pride. It's taking glory that is due God up on yourself. And that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar's doing. And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from the heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. Thy kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen 7 times. Most people think it's 7 years. Times, it doesn't tell you exactly what the times were, but most think it's 7 years. Shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Stressing God's sovereignty. That same hour, was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. Now watch what happens to him. He was driven from men. He ate grass as an oxen. He just liked had a animal's heart, a beast heart. There's a disease that causes people to do that, and I forgot. I used to know it. I thought I had it in my Bible, and I didn't. But there's actually a disease that causes people to act in this fashion. I just can't remember the name of it. You can look it up yourself. But he had it. You imagine how humiliating this great pompous king to be. Where's he at? He's out in the field eating grass like cattle. You see, God brought him, a man's pride, remember we read it, will bring him low. And boy, God brought him low. You want to get pride out of your life when you see it in you. I'm going to tell you one thing. You don't want the Lord to work it out of you. Because he'll work it out of you. He will not tolerate it in his people, and he won't tolerate it in his churches either. You've got to beware of that. It scares me. People can get too prideful in churches, I think. Anything that gets done in a church is because God does it. Any blessings that comes to a church is because God's the one that brings them. We can get to thinking a little too haughty and high of ourselves. God's the one that does these things. Let's get back to this king eating grass now. He did eat grass as an oxen, verse 33. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. That's because he laid out in the field like an animal. He wasn't sitting on his throne anymore. He was out in the field eating grass, and the dew would come up on him. Why was it? Because he's laying out in the field. And his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers. That's why they think it was 7 years to Tam's, because it took his while for his hair. And his nails were like bird claws. What was it he said? Is not this great Babylon, which I have built, which I have done this, and which I have done that? What's the middle word in pride? It's I. What's the middle letter in pride? I'm sorry. It's I. Whenever you hear a lot of I's, you need to think about pride. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this. Public reading of a scripture is a good thing. Well, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned to me. See, he started thinking straight again. God give him his man. He lost his man, folks, and God give him his man back is what he did. To teach him that everything you are, Nebuchadnezzar, your position, your knowledge, your power, all these things, I give it to you. And after this was done, he understood it. He learned a bitter lesson. Now, I tell you, talk about... Now, watch this. You talk about making some good statements. You listen to what this man learns here at the end of this text. And he says in verse 14, and I blessed the Most High... Verse 34, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lived forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation for generation. Oh, boy. Look at verse 35. If you want a good sovereign grace... verse, if you want to see how powerful our God is and how he's in control of everything, notice what verse 35 says. Underline this for you to underline in your Bible. And he does, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will. Let me say it one more time. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? You realize who your God is. Kings and presidents and nations answer to him. He's the sovereign ruler over everything. Still yet is. He's not going to be. He already is. Verse 36, and at the same time my reason returned to me, for the glory of the kingdom of mine honor and brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my Lord sought to me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and the King of heaven. Now watch this. And all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he shall abase. Sounds like a saved man, doesn't it? I think I'll meet him in heaven. I think he learned who the true God was from this text right here. I really think this old Babylonian king will be there. He learned who the true God was in this text. Let me give you another one. Let's go to Acts 12. Y'all enjoying this? I hope you are. I am. We need to beware of pride. He brought Nebuchadnezzar down for it. Satan fell because of it. Moab fell over it. Israel fell due to it. Nation after nation falls because of pride. God tolerates it for a certain amount of time, and then he brings them down for it. Acts chapter 12 is Herod. This is one I've read to you before in the past. It says in verse 20, remember Herod is a title name. There's several Herods in the Bible, not just one. About four or five of them's mentioned. It says in verse 21, and upon a day Herod was arrayed in royal apparel, and he sat upon his throne, and he made an oration to them. That's a speech. I mean, so Herod's standing before the people, and he gives a speech. And he must have been a pretty good orator. It impressed people. And I want you to notice what the people do. And the people, verse 22, gave a shout and said, "It's the voice of a God and not a man." That's a frightening statement, isn't it? Well, do you know what Herod said over that? He didn't say nothing. He took all of that glory for himself. All of it. And you know what happened? "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory." Underline that. "Because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms," maggots. Started eating him from the inside out. And the Jewish writers record it. Just right there before everybody. It hit him in his stomach, and he died right there on the spot. What did he die for? He didn't give God the glory. He heaped that all upon himself. Anytime you take glory for something God does, you think about Herod and Nebuchadnezzar. These are just a few examples of it in the Scripture. One more example, and it's Simon Peter. And we're not going to turn to this one. Did Simon Peter fall because of pride? He certainly did. He certainly did. Jesus said, "Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." He told him to watch, and he told him to pray. He said, "All you will deny me this night." It's actually what he said. "All you will deny me." He said, "Though all these deny you." What'd Simon Peter say? "I never." What's the middle word in pride? Or I'm sorry, middle letter? It's I. "I never will." Boy, he fell hard, didn't he? That's why he told him, Peter, watch and pray, Peter. Matthew 26:41. "Your spirit's willing." What's weak? "Your flesh is weak." And he fell hard, didn't he? Those are three examples of men who fail due to pride. They fail because of it. Oh, my. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 talks about how God was going to bless. This book of Deuteronomy was given to the generation of Israel right before they go into the land of Canaan. The old generation's done died out. So the book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law because we're giving it to a new generation. So he gives them a warning in Deuteronomy 8. God's going to bless them. He was going to give them a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and they were going to be greatly blessed when they go into the land. But with that, he gives them a warning. I want you to, now I'll tell you, what this text says is exactly what America's done. Verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments." When you're forgetting God, we think you forget that there's a God. That's not what forgetting God is. Forgetting God is setting aside his word. He said, "Beware that you don't forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when you've eaten and you're full and you've built goodly houses to dwell therein, and when your herds and your flocks are multiplied, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and you do what? And forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of Egypt from the house of bondage." Okay? He reminds them in verse 15, "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, where brought thee forth water out of the rock of the flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, and do thee good at the latter end?" Verse 17 and 18. "And thou say in your heart, my power," now look at verse 17, "my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember," watch this in verse 18, "thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Who made our nation rich? God did. God did it. Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord thy God. All God's people said, well, that was the pride text that we looked at. We looked at the pride examples. And next week, we'll look at the pride busters. No way. I got five of them. And I'm not going to rush on the busters. You need the pride busters to go with this message. So I'm going to stop right now.